This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The stretch by Finnegan and the 2-0 in the dirt. And there's a stop. Here comes Stott. He'll score. The ball got away up the first baseline. Bryson Stott with a mad dash for the plate. Dives head first. And the Phillies have won it on a walk-off wild pitch. 7-6, the Phillies win in the bottom of the ninth inning.
What an insane baseball game last night. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us. Phillies win last night. It was early in the game, it seemed like it was going to be a kind of a routine win. Wheeler pitches well. Schwarber, or as we call him on this show now, Sherbert hits a home run. Kyle Sherbert hits a home run. They're up 3-1. Like, all right, let's get a nice, easy win against the Nats. It was anything but... In part because of some ridiculous defense. Johan Rojas in an adventure out there. And Trey Turner, who is not a shortstop. I mean, they could keep penciling him in there, but he's not a major league, you know, championship caliber shortstop. Had a terrible night. I think it's time to move him out the position now. 215-592-9494. Elliot, who joined us last segment, was, of course, brought to you by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the 50. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. As the Phillies win, and we'll see tonight with Sanchez on the mound if they have any backbone and get Turner off a short. Hugh, I don't know what's going to happen here. My guess is nothing's going to happen here, and they're going to let him keep playing. I just wonder at some point, when do they wake up and realize this is a problem? They've ignored it for years, and then this offseason, it was the first time it was kind of broached a little bit, and they said, yeah, actually, it's still when you add the offense and the defense, it still comes out to above average. At some point, Dave Dombrowski has to look himself in the mirror and say, this is hurting the team.
I think that last night was an eye-opener. I really do. Even though they won, a game could have went either way.
Yep.
And the way that it was built going into this game, this early in the season, that this was an important series. Because of everything that you stated a couple of days ago, Joe, when you talked about how looks like it's only going to be one team coming out of the East with what the West is doing and everything and how good the teams are playing out there. So the narrative was going into this game that this was an important series.
Yep.
And to your point, you had your best pitcher on the mound last night, and that still wasn't enough. Well, almost wasn't enough, I should say. And to have that happen, like I said, I know we've been laughing and giggling about it. If it would have just been missed the bag, that's one thing. But it was missed the bag and the errant throw. That's when you're looking at it like, what is he doing? You know, and you hate to come down on him because of the night that he had, because he did get you four hits. But sometimes you have to solve the problem before it becomes an actual problem.
Yes.
So I think today, even though it might be one of these things, Joe, you won the game. You don't want to make that big a deal of it. But at the same time, there needs to be a conversation. Somebody upstairs is probably saying, hey, man, that was bad. That could probably cost us. And I know Trey feels bad about it, and I'm not trying to make him feel bad. But when you're talking about a team that is still trying to find – we're like, what, damn near 30 games in, and we're still trying to figure it out?
Yeah, tonight's their 30th game.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure out what we are. And the consensus says that after the 25th game, you got to start hitting your stride.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't hit our stride yet. Now, yeah. Sherbert last night looked like he's starting to hit his stride.
I really do like the Sherbert.
Yeah, I do like Sherbert, too. That's why I got to, consciously get ready to say it. I know it's going to rub some people the wrong way.
Well, you had him as Schwarble for a while.
Had him as Schwarble. Now with Sherbert.
Yeah.
Kyle Sherbert.
Maybe he'll run with it. Maybe it'll be a thing.
Yeah, Kyle Sherbert.
But I agree with you on that they have to consider everything. And also, it's... They could spin this as it makes the team better. It's not just like a demotion for him or a punishment for him. Hey, we have a shortstop that is good at it. His name is Edmundo Sosa. He doesn't get to play much because it's not really a spot for him. We have no answer in center field. I know Rojas hit a home run last night, but let's not get carried away. I mean, Johan Rojas.
I mean, he did hit one. Hasn't hit one yet.
Who's that?
Your boy.
Alec Bohm's not my boy.
Your boy.
That's not my boy, okay. Alec Bohm.
Kind of your boy.
What's that?
Major League buddies.
He's not my guy. I don't even like Alec Bohm.
That's Will's guy. He wants him at leadoff.
Wait a minute.
See that sprint to home plate?
Wow, Joe, you don't even like him?
Not really.
What'd he do to you?
No, not he's personally. Kind of a loser. No, he's...
Really, Kyle?
Yeah.
That's what we doing.
Really?
Does he scream championship player to you? Nope.
I'm telling you, it all went down here when he got the girl.
He screams baby.
Yeah, he screams, yeah. He big baby.
I'm telling you, man, undefeated. Mm. It happens. Sometimes some people just, you know, on a regular, you're not used to it. Like on a regular. You know, you got to kind of.
You mean back to back?
Yeah, you can't be going back to back.
We got to look at Bohm's stats since that whole thing happened.
I'm trying to tell you, go look.
He's hit four home runs since last July.
I don't have to look. I already know. Same thing with Ranger. Back to back, man. Sometimes back to back can be detrimental.
Ranger is the one you're letting dictate his usage around here.
Yeah, I'm just
He's
I'm
got
just
other
trying
issues
to
he's got to handle.
He hired Boris for a reason. Hired for a reason. I'm just trying to tell y'all what it is.
This is why you get the company man label.
No, it's not.
This stuff like this.
I keep it a bean. I'm keeping it real. Why do you hire that? When you hire an agent like that, you know what you're trying to do?
Get the most money.
Get paid.
I know. I'm trying to win. I'm not worried about Rangers.
He's trying to get paid.
Now, hold on. Back to that nonsense in a second. But
the Bohm nonsense now?
Well, no, the Ranger nonsense from company man Hugh Douglas. So I guess this was publicly confirmed during the Super Bowl, the Eagles Super Bowl.
We're talking about
Bowman. It's been way downhill.
No,
way before
it was
that.
Before. No, it wasn't during. No. You talking about? No, not this.
It was, publicly confirmed around the Super Bowl, but it started coming out a little bit last summer.
Yeah,
last summer.
It's been two postseasons in a row where this guy sucked.
Well, he's a big baby. I mean, I know that. I'm not surprised. Bohm struggling.
Y'all mean.
The guy tears off.
This is major league buddies, Hugh.
I'm just saying, y'all mean though.
It's me. We're not being
too nice.
You are too nice.
I said I don't like him.
What happened to my Hugh Douglas,
like,
man?
He sucks. I don't like him. I'm just like,
not the biggest
real
fan. I mean, that's all.
I mean, he's loserish.
I mean, I have my guy. Schwarber's my guy. Harper's my guy.
Sherbert.
Wheeler's my guy. I like Sanchez.
I like Wheeler, too.
Yeah, I like Alvarado. You know who? Alvarado's got some guts getting out of that inning.
Yeah.
I'm an Alvarado guy.
And that young man that was at the game last night, you better have went to school. Like, I'm parenting from afar.
Why are you doing that to the kid?
I'm just saying. And it's, I know he probably went to school.
What if he hadn't missed a day of school all year?
And that
he slept
was the
in
one.
Today. Yeah.
I just be worrying about the kid's futures, man. That's all.
Kid's future?
I don't know.
What Michael Jordan say?
No. You know what it was, Kyle? I don't know. I guess I am turning into Pop-Pop.
You are.
The first thing I thought about.
I don't
about,
like it.
It's an extreme Pop-Pop thing to say.
Why is that also, young man getting ready for bed?
The games start earlier now, and they end early. He probably was in at home by 10 o'clock.
Kyle, that's the first thing. Why is that young man getting ready for sleep?
Just because you were
why
cooked.
Why is he saying his prayers?
You want everybody else to be in bed while you are.
I was in the bed watching the game.
This is such a Pop-Pop Douglas take. No kids at the game until June.
I'm in my twilight. I'm just saying.
You are having a time. All right, let's go 215-592-9494. Dennis in Mount Laurel. Hey, Dennis.
Dennis.
Joey G in high definition. How you boys doing?
Hey, Dennis.
Man.
What's going on?
Before I get to my couple Phillies points in a trivia, I got to do a little shout out to my man, you.
What'd I do?
Well, no, you're a connoisseur of food, and a couple months ago, I'm riding around in a car, and you said, try Hatfield bacon. I tried Hatfield bacon, and it's now better than the other bacon that I used to.
Yeah, Hatfield
bacon.
Wow,
pitchman, Douglas.
Matter of fact, I need to holler at them folks, man. I ran out of bacon.
Well, I guess that counted as the holler right there. Yeah, you said it on the air,
Yeah, I'm ready.
We've been known to do that on this show recently.
The Sherbert hasn't arrived here.
The bat signal.
Oh, we're getting lunch soon, I think.
We're getting lunch today?
No, we did say we were hungry yesterday, and now someone's bringing us lunch tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. Right. Tomorrow.
And we put the jug handle bat signal out.
Yeah, we did that.
So two quick baseball points and trivia question. My baseball point is championships are won, and I'm an old baseball guy, defense, shortstop, second baseman, catcher, center fielder, up the middle. And you can't keep having these kind of errors. So either put him at DH or put him in center field, but you really got to move him. That's my opinion.
Well, you do. And the DH spot, that's Schwarber. So, you know, unless we're putting Schwarber in the field, DH isn't really open right now. What's your other thought?
My other point on Saturday watching the game, and I know Bryce Harper is a very good baseball player, but some idiot broadcaster on the national level on Saturday said he swung at a pitch and missed it because it was a great pitch by the pitcher. And he says, if one of the greatest hitters in baseball history can miss it, anybody can miss it. My question is, do you really think he's one of the greatest hitters in baseball history?
All right, so Dennis, I have two thoughts on that. One, my first thought is like he's not Ted Williams, right? He's not Barry Bonds. He's not Babe Ruth. He's not those guys.
He's not in the top 50.
All right, but let me say this though: when he's done, he probably will have statistics that are up there with the top 30 hitters of all time. I mean, he's probably going to have when it's over, Dennis, because he started at 18, 19 when he came up. If he stays healthy, he's probably going to finish 500 homers. I think he could. He might get to 2,000 runs when it's all said and done. He'll have counting stats among the greatest ever. But I understand your point.
Yeah, I mean he's a very good ball player. But you know, I could list 50 names right off my head, batters, not you know overall everything, but just batting. And he, you know, in the last 3 years, Kyle Schwarber has significantly more home runs and RBIs by a lot over the last 3 years over Bryce.
Yep.
Kyle's got like 42, 45, and 38, and Bryce has 30, 25, and 18, something like that. And nowhere's near 100 RBIs, and Schwarber's averaging 100 RBIs over the last 3 years. So I just thought I'd throw that into the mix.
Dennis, you got some trivia for us?
Well, trivia question. I think you might get it if you were listening a couple months ago. I gave it to my man in the morning. And he did not know. How did Joe Namath get his nickname Broadway Joe?
I don't know that. You know him?
Isn't it because of the guarantee that he would win the Super Bowl?
Nope.
What was it?
He got it.
Is it all the women?
Yeah, well, that's a good point, but no. He appeared on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and the photographer took the picture on Broadway. And one of his linemen nicknamed him Broadway Joe.
How about that? That you know, those nicknames back in the day used to stick, and sometimes you don't even know the origin. Dennis, good phone call. I didn't know that, Hugh. I didn't know how he got the nickname.
No, I didn't. I thought it was because of the guarantee.
Well, that's when it felt like he exploded, right?
He did the pantyhose thing. You know, he wore, he was in a commercial where, you know, he had bad wheels. And I remember the commercial was somewhere it said, even makes Joe's legs look nice, and he had on some pantyhose.
When he also had the fur coat all the time. Yeah,
yeah, he was different, man. I remember when he tried to kiss Susie in the mouth.
Yeah, that was kind of the end of putting Joe on television.
Yeah, he was faded.
Yeah, that was when we said, we're going to stop putting the camera on Joe Namath.
He was faded.
Such a...
That was a blog for so long. I think the name of the blog was Kissing Susie Colbert.
Kiss you in the mouth.
I don't know if it exists anymore, but it was like a sports blog. That was uncomfortable for television for everyone involved. 215-592-9494. All right. This segment is sponsored by McGurk's Pub and Grill. If you're looking for a spot to watch the game, grab your crew and head over to McGurk's. All their locations have a great atmosphere and awesome game day menu. Head over to McGurk's. All right, before we continue with the phone calls here, a couple football guys were on WIP chiming in on the Eagles draft yesterday. First, let's hear Mike Mayock on the Eagles draft, and specifically Jahad Campbell and what people around the league are saying about him.
So, you know, what we heard was that Jahad Campbell was slipping because of the shoulder issue. A labral tear in his shoulder had surgery. It doesn't seem to me, hearing about that surgery, that would cause that sort of drop. Is there any insight you can give as to why that sort of thing would be such a red flag?
There was a late conversation that went around the league about a knee issue also.
Okay. And it seems like he had a scope in 23, I think. And
but something came up again
last
month of the draft about his knee.
Ah.
And I can tell you, when I was with the Raiders, like we would, depending on the doctor, a doctor might say you're meeting with the head coach and the GM and you've got your doctors in and you're going through all the red flags. And a doctor might say something like, at most, you'll get one contract out of him. He's got a chronic knee. Or, you know, that's a common thing you might hear from a doctor. Okay? And then a GM and a head coach have to sit down and say, well, wait a minute. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that about a player. He's got one contract in him, and he plays 10 years in the league without a problem.
Hugh, that was interesting. It kind of goes along with why people think he fell. Now, Mayock was talking about his experience. He wasn't speaking specifically about Jahad having one contract in him, but he's giving you he's heard that when he was a GM. A doctor would say that. Him saying it was the talk around the league tells me multiple teams saw something in his physical that made them say, I'm not sure about this.
Yeah, and every team has their own people that they rely on and believe in or whatever. And they take that information with a grain of salt,
yeah.
You know, and they look at it like, you know, how is it going to affect the player? I remember when I broke my ankle, I didn't know this until like years later. It didn't heal right. It didn't heal the way that they wanted to. Because they kept, and I remember now the conversation, because they kept asking me, well, does it hurt or anything? It didn't hurt. And they was like, well, hell, if it doesn't hurt, it doesn't matter. You know, but it healed awkwardly or whatever. So it just all depends. Everybody's body's different. And just because one person might fail you on a physical doesn't necessarily mean you can't play in the league.
It reminds me, the same year Trey Turner was a free agent, Carlos Correa, mm-hmm. also a shortstop, he failed the physical, I think, with the Mets or the Giants, one of those teams. He ended up with the Twins, but he got way less money than he was supposed to get. And he had like a rod put in his leg when he was like 16. And when they took the x-rays or they did the physical, they kept saying, you have a bad ankle. And he says, I don't miss games. I don't feel it. So, but obviously the doctors are involved in this, and it's part of why he slipped. So let's hope he stays healthy. All right, let's also hear from Baldy, who was on yesterday. And he talked about Ty Robinson. Listen to this. This got me excited.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Yeah, he's bigger. He's stronger. Milt Williams is a good player. I mean, he didn't start. You know, he filled in because Jordan Davis doesn't play a lot of snaps. But I think Ty Robinson is a beast. And I know Matt Rhule loved him at Nebraska. I mean, he's bigger than Milton Williams. I think he's going to be a good player for him. He's going to rotate right away. Whether he can become the pass rusher that Milton became, we'll wait and see, because everybody has to learn pass rush. Nobody comes in as a finished product. But he's got everything it takes to be a good one.
How about that? Baldy, not just comparing, but alluding to the idea that Ty Robinson, the fourth-round pick out of Nebraska, the defensive tackle, could be better than Milton Williams. Milton just got $100 million.
Yeah, and I was talking to a friend of mine that knows him and was there, and he was just like, he's a nasty dude, man, has a nasty streak. He's big, powerful guy, great motor, and tough, was never really hurt. So that you look at all of that, man, and he might be a great fit. That's why I asked Ellie the question about moving to a true 3-4. Yep. Because you have the personnel. You have enough personnel now. You could slide in and out of front. You can play it any way you want to play it. It just all depends on what they see Jahi Campbell as. Is he a traditional linebacker?
Or an edge.
Or is he like an edge rusher? So it just all depends on what he does.
So when I think it was Monday, I heard Shio Kapati on the morning show, and he mentioned that Ty Robinson had more quarterback hits. I know we were joking about pressures yesterday, right? Like sacks versus pressures. Quarterback hits, another stat, right? That doesn't mean you got a sack, but you hit the quarterback as he was about to throw. Ty Robinson had more quarterback hits last year than any defensive tackle in college football. That's pretty remarkable. Like, Mason Graham was a top five pick. Walter Nolan was a first round pick. Derek Harmon, a first round pick. They may got a steal on this kid. I'm excited to watch him play. 215-592-9494. Terrence in Springfield up. Hey, Terrence.
You, Joe Kyle. What's up, man?
Hey, what's Terrence. Going on, man? What's going on?
Hey, man. I was telling Kyle, it's been time with this Turner experiment at shortstop. It's been time to get this guy out of here. And I partly blame Topper for a lot of this stuff, man. Because to me, you got this guy out here, Trey Turner's been playing baseball since he was a kid, and he's out there looking like a pop-pop out there filling a position. He cannot barely move. He cannot barely catch a ball. He can't tag a person on a base. Like, what are we doing here? And I heard a caller say before, it's an easy fix. And this is where ego comes into play, and this is why I say I blame Topper, because it's like you're letting these guys, you know, monitor themselves. Like, what's that word you use? Police themselves in the locker room because their ego. Like, if you want to make the team better, then go to the outfield where the position is easier in left field. But you'd rather stay at the shortstop. And I heard you say earlier, Joe, he wants to be this Hall of Fame shortstop. Well, you're not a Hall of Fame shortstop, not by far. Like, the way you, in order to be a Hall of Fame shortstop, you hit and you feel. Am I correct?
Yes. Yeah. No. The only way he's getting the Hall of Fame right now is a ticket. He needs to buy one because he's not going to the Hall of Fame right now.
He's not that. And Topper needs to grow some balls, and he needs to, you know, tell him you're going to left field, and that's the end of it. You know what I mean? You gotta. Sometimes you gotta get a little grimy, get a little grit with your players. You can't be scared to tell a player to sacrifice for the team, because that's what it's all about. We saw it with the Eagles, and the difference between the Eagles. The way they were policing themselves, it was not in a way that they were doing like meetings in the locker room. They weren't like on the field doing the positions by themselves. You know what I'm saying? That was different. And the way Topper's doing it is he's scared to ask these guys to sacrifice for the team and to make the for betterment of the team. And to me, this is a sinking ship. I call it the clubhouse Titanic ship is sinking, and there's like Topper don't care, the Bossy don't care, nobody cares. We're just going to keep going out there and die of a death of a thousand Trey Turner errors.
Yeah, and we had two last night. That one they took away, which was ridiculous. You can count errors all you want. I saw two last night. You could tell me one was not, one was. Terrence, we appreciate the phone call. Yeah, and that's – but, Hugh, the hard part is I don't think this is just Topper, right? This is – when they do this, it's going to be bigger. I mean, I think this is going to be Dombrowski that has to be spearheading this thing. I don't think Topper's going to wake up today and just write his name in the lineup in the outfield.
Well, I think there's going to be a come-to-Jesus moment. I think that – nothing happens right away. But I think that there is some cause for concern about what you saw last night, because that could have cost you. You know, you're talking about the standings and how tight this thing is and where this team ultimately wants to be. That's not a good feeling. You know, call it one error, two error, whatever you want to call it. That was a bad play on your part. And it's compounded by the fact that you've been doing this for the last couple times you've been out there. Like, you could actually point out a few times in the last week that he's had some errors out there. So that's what makes it more egregious. It's the throw and the miss in the bag in a crucial moment in the game. So somebody's uncomfortable. Now, are they uncomfortable to the point where they're willing to make a move right now? I don't think so. But the conversation is going to be had. It has to be had, Joe. Yeah, I think it has to be had.
Yeah, I don't know what it is at this point. Is it embarrassment? Is it hubris? Is it incompetence? I don't know what the word is. But the Phillies, them not realizing this is a problem is ridiculous. I mean, anyone paying attention knew this was what it was a year ago, and they just sat on it and didn't do anything. And here we are, the third year of his contract, and he's costing them at the position. Mike's in Norristown. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what do you know? What do you say?
What's up, Mike? What do you feel?
I think that bum needs to go to the bench. I've had it. I've had it with him. I'm done.
Bench him?
Bench him.
Bench him, Hugh.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah.
Bench him. Bench him for a week, see what happens, and put him back in. I bet you he plays rock solid. Mm-hmm. He needs to get smacked around a little
Let's
bit.
Let's not get crazy.
Oh, we're going to humble him? Humble him time?
Let's humble him for a week. And in a week, he's going to come back and watch. He'll be hitting 320 home runs. He needs to get humbled.
You know, I love you, right? But that's not the way it works. I'm sorry. You can call me coming man all you want. That's not that dog does not hunt. That does not work. You're talking about guys that are making millions of dollars. That's not.
Yeah, I'm with you. You're not just magically going to make Trey Turner.
And Mike, we preach call. I actually, I'm with the company man on this one. Yeah. So I don't think this is a he needs a kick in the pants. He needs a kick to the outfield. He can't do it anymore.
He's not the shortstop
he used to be.
No, he isn't.
This is an effort. We were in spring training.
He was working hard.
Sometimes you just stink. Like, I don't know. Sometimes like you could put all the work you want in. He's put work in. He's not a good shortstop anymore. I'm sorry. Like, at some point, everyone, you're not the man you used to be. He's not 25 anymore. He's in his 30s now, and he's got to move to the outfield. 215-592-9494. Is it time to move Trey Turner off his shortstop? Enough is enough. I mean, this should have been done a year ago. All right, next, Devin Caney's going to join us. Hopefully not mad at Hugh today. I mean, the way you described Devin earlier is like angry.
Yeah, she cornered me. She's like, why you don't never ask a question? I was like, hold up, dog. Relax.
That's worrisome for you.
All right, well, I'm about to take the segment off. This is the Hugh Douglas Show, and he's going to pepper Devin with baseball questions. Devin joins us next. Your calls as well. 215-592-949 for some midday show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. And let's talk about my friends over at FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. It's the first sportsbook app where you can bet the Kentucky Derby. And right now, all customers get a no-sweat Derby bet. That means you'll get a racing bonus back if your bet doesn't win. The app is super easy to use, and you don't have to be a horse racing expert to get in on the Derby Day action. So bet America's number one race with America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO for your chance to get a no-sweat bet for the Kentucky Derby. That's FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official part of 94 WIP.